Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today, and what a blessing it already has been just being in the house of the Lord. And, you know, we pray all week long that God would use this place as a place of refuge, and not only for our church membership, but for anyone who would come through the doors of this church, that you would sense the presence of God. And I trust that you have done just that. You've sensed the presence of God in this place, and you've already been ministered to. It's been a blessing to hear and be ministered to by the music that we've had thus far this morning. What a blessing. Well, at this time, let's look into the Word of God, the Bible that He has preserved for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians in chapter 9. We're going to be reading verse 6 down to verse 15, the end of the chapter. 2 Corinthians in chapter 9. If you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Verse 6, the Bible says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he has, as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, it has been a blessing. Thank you for your presence in this place. And now as we look into this passage of Scripture in the book of 2 Corinthians, I pray, God, that you would give each and every one insight into these verses. And God, that you would anoint me once again to bring forth your message from your word to your people. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Now, if you would study chapters 8 and chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, you'd realize here that Paul is addressing the church concerning their giving to support missions. And what a powerful passage of Scripture, these two chapters, and understanding faith promise missions and how God would have us to give concerning that. But what God wants all believers to become is right there in verse 7 when he says, "For God loveth a cheerful giver." And so what God wants all believers to become is informed givers. And as we are informed, we will be able to be cheerful. And as we serve God and as we give to God that which God would require of us, as God leads, we can give bountifully, knowing God loves a cheerful giver and will work in our lives. There's no doubt about it. If we study the verses we've just read, in verse 8 it says, "And God is able." Once we have become this informed giver, and if we're informed, we are giving cheerfully, then the Bible says God is able to make all grace abound towards you. And what we need in every aspect of life is God's grace. And God will make all grace abound toward you that ye always, I love that, always, having all sufficiency. Now that's a blessing if you truly understand that. Informed givers understand this. Having all sufficiency in all things may abound. Not just get by, but may abound to every good work. That's a powerful passage of Scripture. Now, verse 9 and 10, Paul's quoting here, verse 9 and 10, from Psalms chapter 112. We don't have time to go back and read and say that. I want you to do that later on. But Psalms 112 reveals to us how God blesses those who give. It's a powerful psalm, powerful chapter in the book of Psalms. At verses 9 and 10, there's quotes from that particular chapter in the Bible. And then verses 11 through 15 is basically what I want to preach on tonight, this morning. Verse 11 through 15 reveals to us God's design, how God's design works. And being informed, givers. Verse 11 through 15, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service, God's administration, what God had put together, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving to God. This is what it creates. While by the experiment of this ministration, what God has put together, they glorify God for your professed subjection under the gospel of Christ, how you have supported that, there's those that are impacted by it are glorifying God. Amen. For your professed subjection under the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution, not just giving, but liberally giving unto them and unto all men, how it impacts humanity. Amen. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. They see it. They understand where it's coming from. Thanks be unto God. When it all comes down to it, God's end result, it thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift of salvation is what that is, which makes it all possible. So how God's design works, first of all, God positions us to be able to give. No matter who you are, no matter where you're at in life, can I tell you that God will position everyone to be able to give. And the most important thing that anyone could ever determine to do in this life is to be a giver. Because God blesses that. And it is more blessed to give than to receive. And God will position everyone. You say, preacher, I don't know about this one. They don't have anything, no money. Can I tell you, everyone has something that they can give. And that's where it begins, with your decision to be a giver and to give as God would have you to give. Can I tell you, that's going to bring about the blessings of God upon your life. You have to determine, in my life, I am going to live to be a giver. Everyone is positioned by God to give. You might not have any money. It's not just talking about money and not talking about resources. You can give your love. You can give your support. You can give your encouragement. Can I tell you, the ones that seemingly have encouraged me the most are those that I first of all went to try to encourage them. The down and out. The ones possibly laying on a deathbed. And you go to give some encouragement. And many times, those saints will say, you know, preacher, we've had a good life. And God's so good. And we have nothing to complain about. Can I tell you, I walk out of there more encouraged than what I did when I went in. And they're on their deathbed. They don't have a whole lot. But they can be used of God. Everyone is positioned by God to be able to give something. God positions us to be able to give. As we give what God would have us to, That's the next step. Once you're positioned, you have to determine, you have to choose to give. It's not about, doesn't matter what everyone else is giving. That's not what you ought to be concerned about. Right. Well, I'm not going to give this because this doesn't make it, I mean, it just that does not compare to what other people are able to give, and so I'm just not going to give any of that. That's of the devil. That is not of God. Amen. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12, he says, "For if there be first a willing mind, knowing that God wants me to give, I might not have a lot, but God positioned you, and now you have to be willing to give what God would have you to give. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." God is not asking you to give something that you don't have. But Satan would love to blind you to what you do have that God wants you to give. No matter how small it might seem, as we give, God works on our behalf. God works. This is how God's designed it. It reveals to there, verse 11 to 15, as we give what God would have us to, God works on our behalf. Verse 11, he says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. Once I have committed to giving, then God works to give to us. When we acknowledge God's gift to us, this leads to thanksgiving to God. That's what it says in verse 11, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Verse 12, also by many thanksgiving to God. Verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And as we are now that we have given and committed to giving what God would have us to give, and God works in our lives and God starts blessing us, and this leads us to being acknowledging God's gifts and giving God thanks for his gifts, it leads us to a life of thanksgiving. Which, when you start living a life of thanksgiving, you know what it does? It positions you once again to be able to give even more. That's God's design. That it just continues. This is part of the victorious Christian life. That every believer should be involved in. The problem with this, with being involved in this and living that victorious Christian life and seeing God work in your life and thanksgivings to God because of what you're able to give and how God returns that gift, how God blesses and all that's taken place. The problem is being blinded to God's gifts. And how God's gifts position us to give. So many are blinded to what God's done for you. So many are blinded to what God has given. I love what the book of James says, is James in chapter 1. Let me just read it to you. James chapter 1, verse 16 down to verse 18 says this, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights," a heavenly Father who knows how to give to his children. "Cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." That means there's he's always the same. "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." God gives to position us to live a life of thanksgiving to God. Yeah. Informed givers are aware of God's gifts. Are you an informed giver today? If you are, then you're a cheerful giver. If you're informed, then you will be able to give what God wants you to give, no matter what that might be. And as you give that, it brings joy into your life, and you are cheerful in how you're able to serve God and give God what He wants you to give. But you have to be informed. You have to be aware of what God's given you. I want to give you three things that Satan would love to blind us as being gifts from God. The first and possibly one of the most important things in living life is God gives life. Human life. An eternal spirit that cometh down from the Father above. Life comes from God. God created the heavens and the earth for the life that He would give mankind. Set it so much higher than any other form of life because man was created in the image and likeness of God. God's design for human life is amazing. God created Adam and God created Eve to be able to come together in marriage and to reproduce. And God's design for giving life after creating Adam and Eve has been through the womb of a woman. Something unique. I love this thought that God has given every woman the privilege and the ability to grow a life. It's God's design. No matter how many millions of years that you might look to evolution, that could never have happened. It was God's designed will and way. The Bible says over in the book of Psalms in 127, and just write it down, let me read it to you. But Psalms 127 help us to understand this is God's gift. Life is God's gift. The Bible says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." The fruit of the womb is God's gift. After God created Adam and Eve, there has not been human life come any other way. Every other human life that's ever lived on this planet Earth has come by way of God's gift. Amen. Through the womb of that woman. And God blesses that marriage and God blesses that husband and wife with a gift of life. God has taken this precious gift of life that He has given and placed it in your care for you to raise for Him. Can I tell you that life is precious? But you have to see it as God's gift. As a pastor, I see some fighting for life. I visit those dying with cancer, struggling to breathe, and they're fighting for life. Then I turn around and I see others wasting life. Wow. Don't waste it. Your life, if it's not precious to you, it's precious to God. Life is what, first of all, God has given you the opportunity to live life. It's something that God designed. It's something that is precious in the sight of God. There's nothing more important on this planet Earth than your soul, your life. You can gain the whole world and lose your soul, and what does it advantage you? What have you gained? Don't let Satan blind you to the precious life that God's given to you. You know how you reveal to God that it's precious to you? you make something out of it. You appreciate it. When you give gifts, if it's a gift, you're not looking for someone to give you payment for it. If it is, you're selling it. It's you're not giving it to them. What we're looking for when we give gifts is simply appreciation. And if you appreciate what God has given to you in life, then you'll see your life as being meaningful to God. And as you appreciate it, you won't waste it. You'll make something out of it. You'll look to God and be all that God wants you to be in that life. God has a purpose for it. People fighting to live and other people wasting it. Well, how we need to appreciate the life that God's given to us. Thank God for your life. Not only that, thank God for the lives of those that He's brought into your life. Every husband ought to thank God for the life of his spouse. Sometimes we fail to appreciate it until it's gone. Every wife should be thankful for the life of her husband. Every parent ought to be thankful for the life of their child. Every child ought to be thankful for the life of their parents. Every friend ought to be thankful for the life of a friend. Amen. Why? Because God has given life, and life, God uses life to impact other people's lives. And Satan blinds us to how precious life is. Yeah. Informed givers are aware of God's gifts. We need to be aware of the gift of life. If we're aware of the gift of life, then God will position us to give time to help other people live life. Amen. You'll be a giver, encouraging people to live life as God would have them to live life. Yeah. Informed givers, aware of the gift of life. Informed givers are also aware of what else God gives us. Not only does God give us life, but God gives us salvation. In 2 Corinthians, our text there, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be to God, unto God for his unspeakable gift. That is singular. That gift is the beginning of all of God's gifts. Once each one reaches an age of accountability, then we realize not only do we have physical life, but God has just given us an opportunity to have spiritual life. And with that spiritual life is eternal life. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gift of salvation. It's a gift. I love that, because God wants you to realize he gave it to you and all he wants is appreciation. He doesn't want you to buy it. You can't purchase it. No matter how much money, you can give everything you have. You can clear out your bank account. You can sell everything and give it all to God, and that's not going to be enough to get you salvation. You can work from the early in the morning to late at night and work every day to have salvation as a works, and you can never work hard enough for salvation. God says there's only one way that you can have salvation, and that is just receive the gift. Amen. God's given it. And in return, he just wants to see some appreciation. You acknowledging the gift of God and doing something with it. Because once you're saved, you have something to give others. Yeah. And that is being a witness. That is telling others what they must do to receive the very same gift that you hold so close to you as being precious. Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, what a tremendous servant of the Lord he was. Once he, on that Damascus road, he seen the truth and he received that gift of everlasting life. He dedicated his life to help others to receive that very same gift. And I love what Paul writes in the book of Romans in chapter 1 and verse 14, because every born-again believer ought to identify with this. If you see that gift of salvation the way God wants you to see it, and if you appreciate it the way that God wants you to appreciate it, then it positions you once again to be able to give. Paul says, verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready. He sees himself as a debtor to the lost. And he says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul says, I am a debtor because I realize what God has done for me. And what God has done for me, he wants to do for all humanity. And because I have received that gift and I realize that the world has need of that gift, I am a debtor to the world because I want to be used by God to be able to present the gospel. So that everyone will be able to receive the very same gift. If you're saved here this morning, you're indebted. You're indebted because God has given you that, and all he wants you to do is appreciate it and pass it on. Brother Rusty, if I wanted my daughter to have $20, and I called you up here and I said, give this $20 to my wife, to your wife, my daughter. See, you would be indebted to give her that $20 until you gave it to her. If you just kept it, we'd have a problem. And God says, if you don't appreciate this gift, if you don't see the need to pass this information on, we have a problem. Because I saved you to position you to be a giver. I saved you to position you to be a giver. And as you give, you'll find that I'll give back. And as you are an informed giver and you understand you cannot outgive me, as long as you give all that I want you to give, I'm going to give it back. Amen. And it's going to prepare you to even be a more prosperous giver. Amen. And you can give bountifully. And it continues. And that's a life, living a life of thanksgiving. An informed giver, aware of God's gift of life, God's gift of salvation, which is eternal life. And one other thing that God has given to us in this New Testament church age, we'll close with this. He's given us the gift of his church. Yeah. Ephesians in chapter 5. Ephesians in chapter 5. Where would we be if it wasn't for the church? This idea of we have no need for the church and we can have our home church and we can get involved in parachurch organizations and that's just as important as the church. Listen to me, that's a bunch of hogwash. You didn't get that from God. You know what God says about the church in chapter 5 of Ephesians in verse 25? Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus Christ, yes, he shed his precious blood that we could be saved, But he gave himself not only to believers, but he gave himself for the believers to come together and to have that local called out assembly, which make up the church. That God has promised to be here with us and work in our midst and equip us and empower us to accomplish what he has for the church to accomplish throughout this New Testament church age. Informed believers, informed givers are aware of God's gift to them, of the family of God, of the church. The church is a gift. Don't allow Satan to blind you to it. Yeah. Thank God for it. And give yourself to it by appreciating it. Just appreciate it. If you appreciate it, you'll be able to give to it. And not just grudgingly or out of necessity, but cheerfully. Yeah, cheerfully. It said, we waste what we fail to appreciate. If you don't appreciate your life, you'll waste an opportunity to make something out of your life. If you don't appreciate your salvation, you'll waste opportunities to see others get saved. If you don't appreciate your church, you'll waste the blessings that God associates with the family of God. God loveth a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver is an informed giver. Be aware of God's gifts and live a life of thanksgiving. God's plan for New Testament Christianity. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. God positions us to be able to give. As we give, God works on our behalf. As God's working on our behalf, then it produces thanksgiving to God, which repositions us once again to be able to become even more cheerful givers. Are you an informed giver? Do you appreciate what God's given to you? Father, we bow before you this morning. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray, God, that each and every one here would not leave here without receiving this truth from your word, without realizing, God, that life is precious. Salvation, what a tremendous gift. The blessings of a church, help us to not only acknowledge them, but help us to be appreciative of all thy gifts. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.